Good morning to everyone. Appreciate each one that's here this morning. We're thankful for a mighty God that helps all of us out along life's way. Have something in our heart been meditating and dealing with for several days. It's a big subject. You can't preach it in 1 hour or 2 hours. Matter of fact, it's a subject that is lived basically from the time we are born to the time we die. Let's go to the second chapter of Genesis, please. We'll start there. Genesis 2 and about the 7th verse says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now what I want to deal with this morning is the subject of life. No matter really how you look at it, the bottom line is God has had his hand on us since we were before we were born. And he is the one that started all of this. He said, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So God has been involved in life with you and I from the time that we were started in the womb and up to now, and we are a product of God, is the bottom line. We're a product of God. All right, let's go to James 4 and 13. James, the 4th chapter, 13th verse. He says here, "And go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go unto such a city and continue there a year, and we'll buy and we'll sell and we'll get gain. But whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. And for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it is sin." So he says here, he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We're going to go do this. We're going to go do that. People are planning and making all these plans and get all these ideas and so forth. But the bottom line, you and I do not know what tomorrow holds. We never will. God has a way. But it said, what is your life? I want to ask us this morning, you know, people say that we make life what it is. But do we? And I want to ask you another question. When you, and most of us in here is past 50 by far. And the bottom line is your life where you want it to be today? In other words, there are people started out and they started going to school, college, and different things, and they had a line of life that they wanted to live, so to speak. They wanted to be an accountant, they wanted to be a homemaker, they wanted to be a fireman or a dairyman or a policeman, a doctor, a lawyer. They had all these plans in mind. But then they get up after 30 or 40 years. Did they do it? How far did they get? Is life what they really set it out to be? Had they been able to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish? Has it been the life that they dreamed of all their life? Sometimes it happens, but sometimes it don't. I was in a house one time playing in the doctor's house, and this man was so good at everything he done that he went to become an internalist, was a very, very accomplished internalist, Dr. M.D., and then after a while he decided he wanted to be a lawyer, so he went back to school and got a lawyer degree, and then he was two things. And somebody said, that's accomplishing a lot. Yeah, it is. But if we really want to accomplish something, there's a way to do it, and that's give ourselves to God. God is able to accomplish with us what nobody else can do. But you've got to surrender, turn loose, be saved, sanctified, and you've got to give God everything that He wants to be able to take you and use you in everything that you want. Didn't like talking about the money this morning in the Sunday school. Listen, somebody says, well, I give so much a month, and I do this and I do that. Well, that's fine. But the real thing that God wants you and I to do is to be able to take our life. He wants to lead it. He wants to guide it. He wants to use you and I. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. No, but you're in the body of Christ. And the Lord wants to take us and use you to the greatest glory that He can. Brother people, Brother Frankie was a giver. He gave a lot, not only of his money, but of his time, of his life. He accomplished things because he done what the Lord wanted him to do. He was guided and led, and the Lord used him and accomplished things that he wouldn't have been able to do. Brother Frank said, no, thank you, I'm not going to do that. So our life today, the greatest part of our life, or our whole life, and I've been doing this for over 50 years, and the bottom line is, and I didn't start out wanting to be a preacher. I started out wanting to be a millionaire. I wanted to have homes and places. I wanted to have cars and wife. And I wanted to have all these things. And I was setting my scope that away. But the Lord came along one night, and in a few moments' time, He changed all that. He told me, He said, you can be ever so rich, and I can take it away in a moment's time. And He let me know, son, if you'll let me take your life and work with it, I can do something with it, so to speak. And I kept working, kept resisting, and the more I resisted, the more He worked. The conviction stayed there for weeks and weeks and months. And finally on that night, after Brother Lloyd Eckert talked to me for 3 hours and dealt with me, I decided it's time to give everything to God. And so I couldn't go to sleep when I got home. I got back out of bed and rolled out of bed, got on my knees and began to beg for mercy. And the Lord saved me that night. But there went the riches out the window. There went this out the window. And I didn't realize at that point exactly what was going to happen. But God took my life, and everything I didn't want to be, I become. My life changed from that moment on. It's been different ever since. But now then, when you get up to 60 and 70 years old, and you can look back at your life, and you can say, well, I really wouldn't go back and change anything because God led it right. All the battles, all the trials, all the heartaches. There's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of anguish. And I heard, I've been sick. I've been well. I've had different things. But the bottom line, if you look back at your life, and you look at it real good, and you say, I wouldn't change a thing. You know why? Because God took us, and He was working with us, and He was using us. Now, when I say using us, He was using you. And He had a goal in mind. And He was using everything. He was forming us. He was leading us. He was molding us. He was fashioning us after Him. He was helping us learn more about God and Christ. He was helping to deepen us down in the Bible. Listen, folks, this is all part of life. He wants to take us and make life to the fullest. And the only one that can give you the fullest life is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He can give you something nobody else can get. I thank the Lord for life this morning. Oh, what is our life this morning? Look at our life. Examine our life. Think about our life. And then it said it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Oh, when you take life, even if we'd live 75, 80, 85, 90. I was talking to a man yesterday. Come up to where my brother and I was at. He worked for the railroad 40 years. And he was a builder, a carpenter. He come over there where my brother and I was and started chatting to us and I saw, he made a statement. I thought, well, I wonder how old you are. I'm getting to the age sometimes. I look at people and think, well, you got some white hair too. How old are you? And he said, well, I graduated in 74. Well, I knew I must be older because I graduated in 71. So I knew I was a tad bit older than him. But he had accomplished some things, see. He was pretty pleased with his life, the way he taught. Now, I didn't just question him deep, but I worked the railroad 40 years, and I'm retired from that, and I'm still doing carpenter work and building and so forth. He seems to be in pretty good health. Seem like things are going pretty good. But then when a person gets down, and they take their life of 70, 75, 80, 85, I think Cousin Carol's about 83, isn't she? I think Carol Saul's about 83 years old. And she's been a saint for many, many years, all of my saint life and longer, and she's been that way. But the bottom line is, you look at it and you compare 83 to millions of years, and what is it? It's a hand's breadth. Doesn't amount to much. Our life, no matter how long we live on this earth, when you compare that to eternity and all eternity, it doesn't amount to hardly anything. But what is your life? It's as a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. There has been people that have been very accomplished, has done very good. There is a woman right now that Molly, well, Craig really got Molly hooked up with her on Facebook, but she's a singer. I don't know if she's not a Elvis Presley or a whatever woman singer. A big name, but the bottom line is she got a beautiful voice, what I understand. My brother appreciates her, and she has some things to do in politics that she likes to let people on Facebook know what's going on. But guess what? She'd come down with cancer. And she said the other day, she was talking, and I could tell, and Molly could too, she was troubled somewhat. But she loves God. That's what she says anyway. And she's living for God, I'd say, the way she talked. She believes in God and is a Christian and so forth. And she's laying this thing out in God's hand. But she's got this cancer, and if something don't happen, she's going to die. You know, people start looking at life different when they get a disease or a thing that can take their life. They get real serious sometimes. They think about it. I'm going ways I didn't even think I was going to go this morning. So best thing you can do is pray for me. They get into trouble physically. What is your life? We need to look at it. We need to examine it. We need to think about where we're at in life today, how our life is going, and look to the Lord and say, Lord, is there anything else you can do with my life? Can you use me in any way, Lord? I'm not very much, you might think. But listen, God can take nothing and make something out of it. He can use you and I in ways that will actually astound people because we allow Him to take our life and do something with it that we wouldn't do otherwise. Oh, today, what is your life? What is your life this morning? Oh, you don't. It is even of the vapor that appeareth. I can't think of Adelie. I've had a hard time pronouncing this woman's name. Adelie or Lee or something like that. Craig can pronounce it pretty good. He's known her for years. And I think her daughter and my niece were big friends. And that's how Craig and Debbie got in touch with them. But the bottom line is, she is a good woman. But she's looking at things now. And this, whatever this stuff is, could destroy her voice. And she could not be singing anymore as far as a singer. So she's thinking. She's praying. She's considering. Folks, we need to look at it. We need to think about life. We need to think about what we can do. How much time we've got left. Oh, today we need to consider, is there something more that I can do for God? Sometimes we get in a kind of a cocoon, so to speak, and we want to do this and want to do that. I'm not slamming anything, but the bottom line is God's got all these people He's wanting to deal with, all these people He is working with, and sometimes He can use you and I to help if we'll just open up and say, Lord, take me, use me. What do you want me to do for you? Old Brother Salmon said he used to get up. I believe this was at Sister Bernadette, but maybe it wasn't. But anyway, he'd get up, living over there in West Virginia, gorgeous West Virginia. He'd get up. I lived his home with him for 3 years. About 3 weeks. And he would get up and he'd say, Lord, you just order my day. What do you want me to do today? And he said, I got news for you. I'm amazed at what he'll do with it. What about us? And we say, Lord, order my day. What would you have me do today? The phone starts ringing. Somebody comes by the house. I've seen him get up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and go pray for people. They'd call him for prayer. One old Sister Tinsley was the main one. But she'd be calling for prayer. Brother Martin, up, we'd go. He'd be out there doing his thing. Oh, order my life, Lord. What can you use me for today? Let's go to Matthew 6 and 25. Matthew 6 and 25. Again, we desire prayer. Matthew 6 and 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you'll eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not better than they? Are ye not better than they? Now then, we get in some tight places financially, and there's people gets to work. They can get anxious. That's what the first part of the scripture is talking about. Do not be overly anxious. In other words, don't let the things of life get you into such a deal that you're not having a good life. It'll rob you of joy, it'll rob you of peace, it'll bother you. I can't do this, I can't do that. I know somebody right now in the East that they have been working, they're on Social Security, and bless her heart, she don't have quite enough Social Security to pay all her bills, so she's doing some part-time work. Well, that kind of went away. And she's getting down, and she was calling Sister Lane, and she was basically crying. She was about hysterical. What am I going to do? She said, pray. Call for prayer, Elaine. Call for prayer. And there is a program that she can get in, and her husband has dementia, beginning of dementia, and that works into the situation. So she's trying to think, what can I do? Well, she's getting anxious somewhat. And it says, don't get anxious here. Take no thought for your life, what you eat, what you should drink, nor for your body, what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Listen, today, folks, what did Christ die for? He died to do for us. He died to save us. He gave everything he had for our life. When he spoke to me in that vision that day, he said, I died for you, child. And I got a vision. I got a vision of him. But then after that, I began to see, listen, if I would have been the only person that ever was born and ever lived and ever died, he died for me. That made a sobering thought to my mind. He died for every one of us individually. I know what it said, for God so loved the world, but he loves you too. He loves us individually. Now then, he's had his hand on us back at the very beginning of our life. And now then, he's got us up. Do you think he's going to fail us down the way? If we need food, if we need raiment, if we need a touch in one way or another, do you think the Lord is just going to abandon us and let us fall out in nowhere? No. Our life is valuable to God, folks. Our life is a life that he wants to take that life and use it. Like I said, he wants to use our life. And if we starve to death, he can't use it. If we're not being able to get dressed, he can't use it. There's things that he's got to do to take care of us. And people say, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. Well, you don't have a brand new car, but you got a car. You don't have a fancy home, but you got a home. Listen, folks, let God do with us as he will with our life and take our life and mold it and fashion it and take us and he will give us. Well, I can't eat Cattleman steak every week. Well, I don't either. But I do get it once in a while. Once in a while, I get to go. He's going to feed us. Listen, folks, over in Matthew, it's right here. Be not therefore like unto them. This is 6 and 7. He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions that the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things that you have need of before you ask him. One time I was needing some shoes, and the Lord provided them before I prayed for them. Well, thank you. Sometimes people need, there have been ministers, and I'd say saints,
I know a minister's wife. If I mentioned his name, you'd know him. He'd been dead before I ever got saved. Way before I got saved. Well, a while before I got saved. And anyway, his wife, she was taken and the Lord was burdening her to give so much money for something. And she said, but Lord, if I get this, he said, I want you to get it. But Lord, I've got to buy this. I want you to give that amount. $500, I think it was. That's quite a bit of money for a widow. And she gave it. And if I remember right, the Lord gave her back double what she gave. And then another time, she had money laid back to buy a plane ticket or a train ticket, something to go somewhere. And she had this money, had it saved back. Well, everything's looking good and everything. And the Lord come along and said, I want you to give that too. But Lord, I'm scheduled to go to Monarch, let's say. Can't be. I don't know where she was going. But anyway, she's coming on a train or a plane. She's flying and she got the money saved back. And he said, I want you to get it. But Lord, here, Lord, it's yours. And she gave it. He gave her that all that money right back to go ahead and buy that ticket and go where she was going to go. There had been people that had been given. One time my first wife had a dress. And she loved the dress and the Lord burdened her to give it to somebody that needed the dress. So she gave it to her. And she thought, well, that's the prettiest dress I've got. That's kind of hard to give up the prettiest dress or prettiest suit or prettiest shirt or shoes or whatever that you got and give it. And she said the Lord gave her some material that to her was about as ugly as the other was pretty. And she said, guess what I did? I made it into a dress, Carl. And she said, I got more compliments on that dress than I did the other one. And I know this sounds a little, but the bottom line is God's able to do for you what nobody else can do. The ministers, the ministers or the bankers, they may not have any idea what we're suffering under. We don't have money. We don't have this. We don't have that. And the Lord said, what is your life? What is your life? I'm going to take care of your life. Your life is more than food and clothing and so forth. Your life is more than that. I'm going to take care of you, child. Lord, help us not to be so anxious. Lord, help us not to get so excited. I know I've been there. I thought, how am I going to pay that bill? I've had them call me and bring it to me. I've had them call me and I've gone and got it. I've had it sent in the mail. But I had a need and the Lord supplied. He's done it down through the years. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, and are we not better than they? Better than the fowls? Better than the high dollar rich cattle that's out there that sell for thousands and thousands of dollars a head? Horses that are $1 million horses? Win the Kentucky Derby and so forth. Are we not better than that? Yes. And the Lord said, I'll take care of you, child. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to take our lives and said, here we are, Lord. Here we are. Do with me what you want, Lord. All right. Brother Gatham was telling something a while ago. I read the book, D.L. Moody. And they was in a meeting, I believe it was. And Iris Sankey, wasn't it? He was there. And D.L. Moody heard his voice. And he liked that voice. He thought, you can help me. And he went to him and talked to him. Well, I work for the IRS. I'm this and our postal service, whatever it was. I got a job. I don't need to work for you. Well, D.L. Moody wouldn't quit. He knew what that man could do. Listen, folks, Ira Sankey, he wasn't interested in going with D.L. Moody and singing in revivals and all this. But D.L. Moody knew what that man could do for his campaigns. Finally, he said, I'll pray about it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had somebody pressuring you and you finally say, I'll pray about it? Brother Abram wanted me to go with him one time on a deal. I already had my plans made. And he and I discussed it, and I kept resisting. Finally, he said, well, would you at least pray about it? I did. And things started changing. And guess where I went? I went with him. I didn't go what I wanted to do. I went what the Lord directed he and I to do then. Oh, today, Ira set out. He prayed about it, and the Lord began to deal with him and work with him, begin to take his life. That'd be a major change. Basically, living by faith. Listen, people say living by faith, that scares people plumb to death. But listen, I got the richest banker in town. He owns everything. If I need $1,000, he can give it. If I need $1, he can give it. He's a big God. He runs and rules and controls everything, and he owns everything. Somebody told me one time, and I'd make a call way back there before these things ever existed, before even Jobs even thought about making a smartphone. And she goes, Carl, that's costing money. I said, listen, I said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I said he also owns all the oil fields in Oklahoma and Texas. I said, I'll pay this bill. Don't worry about it. I'm letting people know I'm getting married. I'm going to make some phone calls and let them know we're getting married. They just kind of got quiet, didn't say no more. But the bottom line, he's able to help us. Put our hand in the hand of the great God and let him work with us. All right, let's go to Luke 12 and 15. Luke 12 and 15. Again, this is not going, the Lord's just doing things different than what I thought he might. Let me put it that way. 12 and 15, a good Luke. It said here, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he goes on down and he tells about the parable of the rich man. What that man did. And he's going to build barns. He's going to pull down. He's going to expand. He's going to do all these things. He had one thing in mind, and that was money and greater wealth. And it said there, he said, where will I bestow all my fruits and my goods? And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Just take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God, it said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, I don't know if it was last Sunday in the deal of the book. Sunday school was talking about covetousness, I believe. Second Sunday, what is it? 471, last Sunday, Sunday before. And I heard some of that up in Four Corners. And the bottom line, people get hung up and they want more and they want more. And God, the money of this world becomes their God. And they'll do anything they can do to get money and to get more and more and more. And then they lose totally sight of God. They lose total sight of church. They lose total sight of their soul. All they're after is their money. I've worked for doctors. I've worked for lawyers. I've worked for people that was quite wealthy. Bankers, been with bankers and clean banks and all of this. And gentle work down through the years. And some of these people seem to have a goal that I want everything I can get. But I worked for one lawyer and his wife. She owned a real estate business with another woman, and he was a lawyer. And to be honest with you, I didn't really think Clyde had a covetous bone in his body. He really didn't seem to. They lived in a nice home, and it wasn't anything like some people's homes I've been in. I've been in some whoppers. Anything real big. He wasn't, I don't feel, him or Gigi, neither one, I don't feel was a covetous couple. I enjoyed working for them. They were good to me. And I was good to them. Tried to be anyway. And took care of them. Oh, today covetousness is ruining this world, folks. It's ruined this world for a long time. There have been people out there that got greedy and they have done this and that. They've destroyed people's lives. One of the men that was a governor of the state of Oklahoma, he lost a fortune. He turned around and made another fortune in Marlin Oil. Marlin up there in Ponca City on the Marlin Mansion. If you learn his deal, and anyway, he allowed the very man that he didn't want to have anything to do with, J.P. Morgan, I believe it was, he allowed him to come in and they started undermining Mr. Marlin, and he lost his second fortune. And that time he didn't have enough time to build it back. And that Marlin Mansion is a beautiful big home. He ended up living over here in the servants' quarters, so to speak. If you ever go look at it, if you've never been there, check it out. And hear the story. It was all because J.P. Morgan was wanting everything he could
get. He had a covetous mind and a covetous. He was powerful. The company was powerful. And he was just taking everything he could get. Shame on the devil. And a man that was the governor of the state of Oklahoma ended up living. And I'm going to call it the servant's quarters. Listen, covetous is not what the Lord wants. That does not make a happy life. That does not make a peaceful life and a joyful life. That just makes a miserable being is what it does. So beware. Don't get caught up in this. Be very careful. All right, Job 2 and 4. Job 2 and 4. Let's look there right quick. Now, if I get the right direction, it will work right. It always has. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. If you look out there, there's a lot of people doing that today. There's people that start having physical problems and they start giving money to have this done and that done, and it just starts escalating and they just keep going down more and more and more. You've seen it happen. And ended up, they don't have anything. Listen, folks. God is a God as a great physician, is a man with all power and all authority. He's able to heal anything. He's able to work with anything. And he's able to help us with anything. All will a man give. People love life. People want to live. They don't want to die, especially if they're not saved and they really begin to see. The old Commodore Vanderbilt, a very, very wealthy man. And he had a sickness, and I don't remember what it was. It's been years since I read this particular book. But anyway, he was sick. And he came out of his bedroom. And one of his little ladies down at the deal, when I say little lady, worked for him. And he knew she was a religious woman. He said, Mary. He said, Mary, I want to ask you a question. Does the Bible say a rich man can't go to heaven? See, he was thinking. He was considering. He could die. He could go out into eternity. Evidently, the Lord was calling at his heart. And she said, yes, sir. That's what it says. Rich man can't go to heaven. Well, it says more than that. But anyway, that was his question. In other words, can I go to heaven? I'm rich, and can I go to heaven? The problem with riches and men and women is the bottom line is they don't have faith in God because they got faith in everything they've got. They don't have to have God, so to speak. All right, 11 and 4, the good book of Proverbs said, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Oh, today, riches profit not. There's a lot of rich men that's gone right out into eternity. Step right out. They couldn't buy. They couldn't stop death. They couldn't stop going out into eternity. I give you another example. The Elwell family. A number of years ago, one of them ended up in a hospital, I believe in Phoenix, Arizona, had a heart attack. They called for prayer and the saints started praying. He wasn't saved. He was not saved. But he's one of Brother Chuck's brothers. And they started praying. Another man that was in the hospital that was one of the best heart doctors in that whole hospital and respected all over in that area. Very well, highly respected. He had a heart attack. They didn't call for God that I know of. But they called for the other fine doctors and they rushed to him. And he died. Right there they couldn't save him. And the Elwell, as far as I know, he's alive today. Oh, God is able. Riches is not going to buy you out of death. Riches is not going to help you if you're dying. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, the day of death, when God is working, trying to get people, and they're not listening to Him. But righteousness delivereth. Oh, the righteousness. All right, let's go to Genesis 19:15. Let's move along here. Genesis 19:15. Talking about Lot here. 19 and 15 of the good book of Genesis said, "And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful in him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, no, so, my Lord." Now Lot got in the wrong place at the wrong time. And now then the Lord is fixing to destroy that city. Sodom, Gomorrah, I'm going to destroy it. And the angels come to deliver him and his wife and his two daughters and get them out of there. And they flat told him there was some hesitancy there, evidently. And finally they just took him by the head and said, Come. And got him outside on the side of the city and said, We want you to escape for thy life. Listen today, folks, there is a place and a time that we have to escape for our lives. We have to run for our life. And his wife looked back. They said, Don't look back. Listen, folks, when we get saved and we're living for God, don't look back. Don't look back to the world. Don't look back to our things back there, because sometimes the devil want to make them look real pretty and say, Come on back. He said, Don't look back. Escape, run for your life, get out of here. It's going to be destroyed. I don't know if Lot didn't realize the what was fixing to happen to an extent. Maybe he did to an extent, but if he really realized the real scope of it. But the Lord, come on, Lot, get out of here. Get him out, angels, get him out. Oh, today, Lord, help us. If there's anything we need to run from, get away from, and do, escape. Escape with your life. Escape for your life. There's a lot out there that wants to drag people down. There's a lot out there that wants to destroy people. All right, let's go to Proverbs 9:9. Proverbs 9:9. It said, Give instruction unto wise men, he will yet be wiser, will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he'll increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Now he said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied. The Lord wants you and I to go after God. For by me. He wants us to reach out in every way we can. A lot of children. Well, you listen to Brother Marty preach. If you've heard him very much, you hear him say, I didn't like school. I didn't like it. Smart man. I didn't like school. There's thousands of people out there that didn't like school. But I'm talking about a schooling here. I'm talking about a life here that far exceeds any education we can get through anything. This right here is the most gracious, kindest, most beautiful wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God. Why? Why does he want us to do that? Why is he interested in that? It's because that will help you and I to find God. It'll help you and I to find the depths that we wouldn't get otherwise. Because the wisdom of God leads to God. The wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God leads to deeper depths and higher heights and gives us things in our life that we wouldn't have otherwise because we're reaching out after God. God wants us to reach out after Him. He loves us. He died for us. Christ done everything He could do to give us the most beautiful plan. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Now then, it's up to us of how much we get. You get into some classes and you don't like them back there. There's things I didn't care for. I'll just flat admit it. Some of them I like pretty good. I got into the install business, and I was pretty decent at math. I didn't get into some of that high stuff, but just general math I was pretty good at, but I kind of began to allow fractions to get away from me, Brother Bob. And then you get out here and you're pulling lines and measurements and so forth, and I'd heard that Brother Dan Gillenbeck, he was so fast. I worked with him one time on one job in Atlanta with Chad Sammons and myself, and I stood back and I looked at him, and he measured here, and he's putting it together in his mind just like that. He said, cut that board this and cut that board that, do this, do that. Well, I can get it done, but I'm probably taking a piece of paper and working with it. He could do it instantly in his mind, see. That's why he was so fast. Listen, folks, God wants you and I to use what we can get at school. He wants that to be used for Him. He wants the things that we get from God to be used and to go the depths that we can get that we can't get any other way, praise God, but through Him. Oh, Lord, help us. All right, let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19 here. Matthew 19 and 16. Matthew 19, 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. All right, the Lord not only wants us to get into the commandments, but He wants us to keep them. The problem today with a lot of people out there, they don't keep the commandments. They might keep part of them, but they have a problem of keeping some that they don't agree with, or maybe they don't like to do. You ever have mom and daddy tell you to do something you really didn't want to do it? What'd you do? Well, you might have done it, but you kind of got a fuss in your mind all the way out there and all the way back. But I want you to wash the dishes. No, I just don't like washing dishes. Well, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Not everything in this Bible is just totally, perfectly pleasing to the flesh in every way. There's going to be some times it's going to be a little bit rough. But He said, keep the commandments. Young man, keep the commandments. Well, I do keep the commandments. And I do this and this and this and this. He's lined them out. I got news for you. That rich young ruler is a lot better than a lot of the young people on the street today. Far better. He done well. But then the Lord got down and He said, all right. He said, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor and come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. Listen, a lot of times the Lord, somebody said, well, why did He want His money? I tell you why, because His heart was set on His money. If you and I get our heart set on something, the Lord will require it from us. Because that can distract us from Him. So he was taking the thing that would hinder him, pull him back, take him down, would destroy him. The Lord wants us to be open, wants us to be free. All right, Proverbs 4 and 20. It said, my son, attend unto my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Oh my, he said, my son, attend to my words. Attend. All right, the 10th verse of the same chapter. says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." People want to live a long life. Most people do anyway. I've been in a few cemeteries in my day. And if you look at the ages of the saints in these cemeteries, a lot of them are old people. I've watched them for years now. I'm seeing my, third, fourth generation grow up. And down in South Carolina, this is back a number of years ago, and there was a graveside service there, and I was over there, and I got to looking at this saint, and this person, that person. I thought, wow, they was 90 years old, 85, 90, 95, 100, whatever. I can't remember totally, but they were up in age. At that time, I was much younger than I am now, and that kind of appealed to me. Well, if you look at the saints as a body, a lot of the saints live to old age. He said, "Keep my words, keep my commandments, and they will lead to life." He said, "Attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Attend, listen, be attentive to them. Lord, give me something." Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, "Lord, I want you to give me something today"? And he give you a scripture, or maybe a word of a scripture, or a phrase of a scripture, or a song. A lot of singers get a lot more blessings maybe out of songs than maybe some of the rest of us do, because they're attuned to that so well. Sister Angela made the statement one time, said, "The Lord speaks to me a lot in songs." She didn't say this, she said songs. What about you, Sister Lisa? I don't know, I've never heard you say that. But she said, "The Lord talks to me through songs." Well, he does some of us, maybe all of us. I've gotten great blessings out of our hymnal over and over and over down through the years. But it said attend. Pay special attention to. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Have your ear attuned where that you're listening very, very closely. And let them not depart from thine eyes. Don't let them get away. Keep them in front of you. Look at them. Consider them. Weigh them. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Get them down inside, where the Lord can just use it over and over, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Long life. Long life. We want to live a long time. I said something here a while back about Brother Sammons, and I use him a lot anyway, because I worked with him quite a bit way back there. And I said, "Brother Sammons quit preaching his hard, fast way at about the age of 60. And I said, "Here I am, 69. I'm still preaching pretty hard." And I thought about it one day. I thought, "No, wait a minute." And then one of the people that was standing there listening to me said, "What is your life compared to his? He had a hard life." And I got to thinking about what they said. I thought, yeah, he drank, he smoked. I didn't do any of that. Didn't take drugs. He didn't take any drugs I know of. But he drank, he smoked, he partied back there. He done things. And he got up to a point that all of this emotional preaching that he was doing began to slow down more and more. And one night when I was pastoring Guthrie, I mean, he was putting one out. Oh, it was good. And he was preaching hard. I hadn't seen him preach like that in a while. He said later, "I'm getting too old for this, son. I'm getting too old, son, for this kind of preaching." Well, it's not easy, I'll have to admit. But our lives can be so much more valuable when we attune them to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Lord said, "I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to go there. I want you to do this. I want you to do that." And we're doing that. All right, let's go to John 5 and 26. Let's wrap it up. 5 and 26 of John. "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself." All right, 3 and 36 of St. John says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." All right, now then, let's get down to the real meat of the thing here, if you want to call it that. 1 John 5 and 11. 1 John 5 and 11 in closing. It said,
And this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now he says here, he said, he that hath the Son hath life. This crosses a lot of religious people that says just join the church of your choice. Become a member. As I say, bake a cake for the preacher. Get $50 in the offering. None of that will get you to heaven. None of that will get you to heaven. We've got to have the life of the Son of God living within us. We have got to repent, confess, forsaken, made a change that the Lord wanted in believing on Him. And we've got to have Him move in and live. When we were unsaved, we couldn't walk away from sin because we didn't have the power to do it. But when you get the life of the Son of God within you and that power begins to work, praise God, we can walk by every cigarette shop, every beer joint, every drug alley, and I can shout all over town and not touch it. Not even want it. Not even interested in it. Oh, and others can too. And it's because we have the power of the workings of the Son of Jesus Christ in our life that helps us to do what we couldn't do before. We were weak. We were led by the devil around and around and around and around. He done with us what he wanted to do. But bless God, when God delivered us, saved us and brought us up and out and set our feet on a solid rock, established a God, put a new song in our mouth, even praise be unto God, many shall sin and fear and shall trust in the Lord. There's something there we didn't have before. And that life, that eternal life, that's what just not only blesses us here, but then in the end we just say, thank you, Lord, come take us. I've been at the bedside of number that's died. And they got to the place where they wanted to die. They were saying, Lord, come take me. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm worn. I want to go home. Brother Vader was one of them. I wasn't there right when he expired, but I'd been there a little while before, and I went to do something, and before I got back, he died. But he let me know, I want to go home. I want to go see Jesus. And if I remember right, old brother Bud Heisem, remember him at the Golden Rule home? If I'm not mistaken, 93, is that abide in me? Is that what that is? Anyway, he come to me. I was down there at the Golden Rule home, and Brother Bud saw me. He said, Brother Carl, he said, I would like to read this song to Brother Veda. And I said, all right, let me go see if it'd be all right now or just when. And Sister Carol said, bring him on. And if I'm not mistaken, that was one of Brother Veda's favorite songs. And you know what that done for him? That was a blessing. Right down before he died, a few hours. It wasn't right at his death, but if you're like it was in the morning, he died in the afternoon. And that was such a blessing. God used one of his little servants to read the song that was his favorite, or one of his favorite songs, just before he died. That's life. That's blessings. That's glory. You can go in hospitals and you can listen to people. I was in there one time when I was quite young with Mama. I don't remember what we were doing at the hospital, but we were there. And I heard this woman screaming and hollering and just carrying on. I'm dying! I'm dying! And I don't know what all she was saying. My mother looked down at me and said, son, don't worry, she ain't dying. She's too strong. And as I've grown up and as I've been at the bedside of a few people that's died down through the years, I thought, yeah, that was, you getting down there, you ain't more likely you're going to do it like she was. She was really cutting to shine. But Brother Veda was just so calm. That's life. He had the life of the Son of God. He got down to where he really couldn't stand up and preach anymore. He was just sitting in a chair. He could get up on Wednesday night and he could just give us scriptures and feed the whole congregation. Just feed us with the scriptures that God had given him. Sister Carrie couldn't come to meeting, but her and him was working just very close together. And she'd give him some things and he would think on it and they would talk about it. And he'd come to church and he'd put it out and he'd just bless all of us. Because he had life, eternal life. Oh, this morning, the greatest life we can have is eternal life, living within ourselves. I appreciate your time and attention. Pray for me.